And I want you to turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4. And I shall begin reading at verse 16. I hope that you'll be in prayer for your pastor as I shall try to preach this morning. I need your prayers. And I hope that you'll be in prayer for the activities through the day and that you'll find it in your own heart to be in your place to serve the Lord where He wants you in the days to come. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, after a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Calvary this morning. Thank Thee that the burdens of our hearts have been rolled away. Thank Thee for Jesus Christ, Thy Son, who interposed His precious blood in our behalf, who has brought us to this hour. Oh, how we ask this morning for those who are outside yet. May they come in today. Don't let men see us this morning, but may they see Jesus. May men and women come into the fellowship of the church and bring their families to worship here. And may our hearts experience revival about this altar this morning that would bring us all to a closer walk with Thee. In Jesus' sweet name we ask it, and for His sake. Amen. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, or Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." The Spirit of Jehovah is upon me. He hath sent me to preach the gospel and heal the brokenhearted. We are living in a day of specialized medicines. I read just this morning that last year Americans spent on an average of $21 apiece, or over $4 billion for medicine. Especially is this specialized medicine and specialized training of the doctors true in the field of heart surgery. We have read recently, right in our own state, where several have had artificial hearts put within them. So in the matters of heart and heart disease, and this is our emphasis for the month of February, for this is Heart Month, I want us to be thinking about what Jesus said when he read from the prophecy of Isaiah, "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Now, when a member of the family complains with a stomach ache or the toe ache, we don't get too excited about it. But when some member of our family has a pain in the chest, my doctor tells me, if you ever feel in your chest or your breastbone here, that like someone is there bending it and breaking it, you better do something and do it in a hurry, because you'll be having a heart attack. So when the member of the family has some complaint about the chest or the heart area, and the heart is in the center of your chest and not to the left as you perhaps have always thought that it was, we rush for the doctor and we want a specialist. when we get one, and rightly so. But I think in the spiritual realm, we need more of a heart specialist than we do in the physical. And we have one, and his name is Jesus. The poet put it like this: the great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Your many sins are all forgiven. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Go on your way in peace to heaven and wear a crown with Jesus. All glory to the dying Lamb. I now believe in Jesus. I love the blessed Savior's name. I love the name of Jesus. His name dispels my guilt and fear. No other name but Jesus. Oh, how my soul delights to hear the charming name of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. I want to point out to you this morning, by the help of the Spirit of God, several areas in particular where the great physician is at work as we consider the subject, the divine heart specialist. First of all, the divine heart specialist provides satisfaction for the hungry heart. And the world is filled today with people who have hungry hearts. And you don't have to go far to find them. Maybe right next to you this morning, seated there on that pew, is somebody with a hungry heart. Pray for them. Maybe next door or across the street or certainly across the vast oceans, there are multiplied millions this morning who have hungry hearts beating within their breast. Hungry because they need courage in the time of fear. Hungry because they need strength in the time of weakness. Hungry because they need joy in the time of despair. I say again, they are multiplied millions the world over whose hearts are hungry for courage in the hour of fear. We are living in a world that's characterized by fear. Many people are going to bed at night fearing that before the morning sun ever breaks through the sky, that an all-out war will break loose and literally blast them off the face of the earth. And who knows? That might come. Many go to bed at night fearful that before the morning ever dawns upon them, they will die of physical starvation. 10,000 people daily are so dying. Many in the various parts of the world where sanitation is not like it is with us are dreading fearfully some plague, pestilence, or disease that will break out among them and claim many of their lives. It is a world of fear. But I'm glad that I can bring to you this morning a note of hope that shining through every dark cloud of fear and despondency and discouragement, there's a bright ray of sunshine. For there is for us courage in the hour of fear. The psalmist said, "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Yonder on blue Galilee, the disciples had gone following the instructions of Jesus. May I insert here, your life is safe when you follow the instructions of Jesus. And there they were in the midst of a storm that had violently broke out in the fourth watch of the night. And the 15th chapter of Matthew says that the disciples had become anxious. But they looked out on the water and they saw one coming. one of them said, "It is a spirit." And Jesus heard them. You mean Jesus could hear over the boisterous waves? Oh, yes. And I would say to you this morning that Jesus can hear you over the boisterous waves of a busy, industrialized society, over the hustling of the bombs and the armaments that go through the skies over Vietnam this morning. Daddy, take cheer. Mother, cheer up this morning. My Savior can hear the voice of your Son as he prays from the battlefield today. And Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Out there on your sea this morning, there are some storms. But you've got the same Jesus that the disciples had. Why don't you claim him this morning? You have the same promise that the disciples had. Why don't you embrace that promise today? You have the same assurance that the 12 had. Why don't you reach out this morning and say, if Jesus Christ could meet the need of the disciples on Lake Galilee, he can meet my need on the sea of my despondent life, and I'm going to trust him for it. Didn't the psalmist say, He that dwelleth in the tabernacle of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence, and from the terror that walketh by night, and from the arrow that flieth by day, and from the destruction that walketh at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy hand, at thy right side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee, because thou hast made God, my God, thine everlasting habitation. Why should we fear? Why should we be anxious? Why should we be fretful when Jesus has given us the same promise? And I read again from the words of the psalmist, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" We do have that courage for the time of fear. That does indeed satisfy the hungry heart. And what about strength in the time of weakness? I read in Psalm 73, your testimony and mine, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." God is our refuge, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be cast into the midst of the sea. We will say with Paul, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." We can say with Paul, "When I am weak, then I am strong." We can say with Paul, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." We can take the admonishment of the Apostle Paul, who writes in Philippians, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There is strength for us in the time of weakness. Ah, but I hasten to tell you, there is joy for us in the time of despair. I read in Psalm 4:7, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart." I read again the psalmist when he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry, and he brought me also up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall hear it and shall trust the Lord. That's the kind of God that I'm serving this morning. This is the kind of heart specialist who will bring satisfaction to your hungry heart. It matters not what you need. Needless to say that Jesus has pioneered the way, and Jesus shares with you and with me every experience of human existence. When we are sad, he knows how to sympathize because he was sad. When we are lonely, he knows how to sympathize because he was lonely. When we are destitute and despondent, he knows how to sympathize because he was destitute. Said he, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, for the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. When we are sick, he knows how to sympathize with us, because he suffered on Calvary's cross. When we go through the clutches of death, and when the grim enemy comes in and takes out a member of our family, God knows how to sympathize with us, for death claimed his only begotten Son on Calvary's cross. He satisfies the heavenly heart specialist, the longing of every hungry heart. Let us learn to trust him to satisfy our hearts this morning. Let us say with Jeremiah, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Let us say with Job, I have esteemed his words more necessary, or more than my necessary food. Let us indeed say this morning with the psalmist, wait on the Lord, and he shall renew thy strength. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. For the prophet said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Let us take the admonishment of the psalmist when he said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy hungry heart. I introduce to you this morning the divine heart specialist, able, willing, waiting, ready, right now to satisfy the longings of your hungry heart. And that's not all that he does. Time would not permit to tell even a beginning of what he does. But I want to tell you that the divine heart specialist provides a remedy for the sinful heart. Say, did you ever analyze the heart in the light of God's word? If you'll read in the book of Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, you'll find out that even every imagination of the heart of man was evil only, continually. Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. What does Jesus say? In Mark chapter 7, Jesus said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. What is the remedy for such a sinful heart as this? Well, the educators say, motivate man to proper thinking and he will elevate himself to a plane of righteousness. Sounds good, but it just won't work. The moralist says, let us set up a new code of ethics and let us make of ourselves saviors of the world. The skeptic says, well, we can't be certain anyhow. What difference does it make? The atheist says, why, there's no God. There's no hereafter. Let us make the best best of the here. And the religionist has his word, too. He says, do the best you can. Live a good, moral, clean life. Pay your honest debts. Go to church and blah, blah, blah. All of this is good, but this won't get the job done. What? After the educator has spoken, and the world is still in darkness of sin. After the moralist has spoken, and the morals at an all-time low. After the skeptic has spoken, when God has given infallible proof. After the atheist has spoken, when God has made himself known to all the world. After the religionist has spoken, and there are more churches, and there are more church-related schools and religious organizations going under the guise of religion in the world today than ever before. What does God have to say? Here it is. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What does God say? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us. What does God say? All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. Here is what God says. God says man is a sinner, born with a sinful nature, bent towards sin, and bound for a devil's hell without hope. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. There is not one good man and just man that liveth upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that understandeth. Yes, God says man is a sinner. God says there's a judgment day coming. John said, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled, for there was no room for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is a judgment. But I'm glad this morning that I can hasten to tell you that Jesus Christ has already borne all the judgment of all the sins of the world. On him the iniquity of us all was laid. On him the sins of us all were laid, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. That's what God says. What then ought we to say? With the poet we ought to say, in thy hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. For the songwriter we ought to say, just as I am without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come to thee. We ought to say with the publican, as he smote upon his breast, God be merciful to me, a sinner. We ought to say with the penitent, Lord, I believe. I walked into the hospital on Wednesday afternoon. And I went into a room where a man had suffered a heart attack. A man that I had dealt with, Brother Hansel has dealt with, and perhaps others from the church. And I went into that hospital room, and I talked with him again. And I said to him, Mister, what is your idea about a man being saved? How do you think a man can really get saved? Well, he said, preach it. If I understand it correctly, All I've got to do is ask God to save me, and he'll do it. And I said, mister, you're exactly right. For my Bible tells me that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, a lot of people are going to miss heaven by only 18 inches. That's the approximate distance from the head to the heart. My Bible says to me, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With a mouth confession is made unto salvation. I said, mister, do you believe that? He said, I sure do. Then I said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call upon him? He said, I sure will. I prayed with him. He trusted Christ. I slipped back up to the hospital yesterday morning. I met his daughter-in-law in the hall. She said, oh, Brother Raymond, I'm so glad you came up. Said, you know what he's saying to the family? I feel like a great load has been lifted off my heart. Oh, my friends, I tell you this morning, if Worth Baptist Church in its 13 years had only won one soul to Jesus, 'twould be worth it all. Amen. 'Twould be worth every dime and every dollar and every ounce of energy and all the strength that we've all combined put together. And I want to tell you this morning that just as that load was lifted off that man's heart, the divine heart specialist is here, and he'll cut away the burden of sin and give you peace within. Only believe and the work is done. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus, our divine heart specialist. We thank thee for this waiting congregation this morning. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that thou hast brought us to this hour and to this moment. We don't know. We only wish that we knew how to present it a little bit plainer. We only wish we knew how to preach. But Heavenly Father, if the Holy Spirit now does not move, we have acted in vain. I beg thee this morning, Heavenly Father, out there in the congregation, there's a young girl, there's a young boy, there's a mother, there's a daddy, there's somebody that needs Jesus. Heavenly Father, wouldst thou not send thy spirit and knock on the door of that heart and bid them let Jesus come in? Right now, Heavenly Father.